This is Church Alive's Teaching of the Week by Pastor Gene Amoson. For additional teachings or information about the church, go to churchalive.net.
Let me start with a question this morning. Spiritually speaking, do you ever feel like no matter how hard you try, that you're always just a step behind, almost as if the enemy just constantly has the upper hand in your life? Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you see powerful men and women, just even in this church, and you've thought to yourself, I don't feel like those people. I don't even kind of compare myself spiritually to those people. If you answered yes to either one of those questions, I got some really good news for you today. You may say, well, how, Pastor Gene? Well, hear me. That's not the way God intended for you to live your life. And the good news is that he wants to see us powered up. Somebody say powered up. He wants to see us powered up. And the way that that happens is through the person of the Holy Spirit operating in our life. Amen? And so, y'all, today is Pentecost Sunday. This is a big day on the Christian calendar. Of course, we get jazzed up about Christmas, right? Whenever Jesus came to earth for us, we get super excited about Easter whenever he walked out of that grave, right? That resurrection power. But I'm going to tell you what, Pentecost is a big deal. And here's the reason why, because it's the day that the one who was promised hit the scene. It's the day that the church stopped hiding and really started moving. And that same power that changed everything that day is available to every one of us. And that's good news today, amen? That's good news for all of us today. Now, this topic may be new to some of y'all here today, but I want you to just kind of sit back, just listen. I got a lot of scripture for you. You don't just need my opinion, you need scripture. Amen? I want to be able to back up what I'm teaching today, so just hang with me. I got to tell you, and you're going to find out probably, this is a subject matter I'm very, very passionate about. Whenever I was working on my doctorate, this was my final project, was writing about this, and I loved every second of it. But as we get into it, sadly, I think a lot of believers, due to not being taught, really don't know who the person of the Holy Spirit is, and maybe they even have a negative outlook on the person of the Holy Spirit. Now, today, rather than having points, what we're going to do is we're going to ask questions, and then we're going to give answers, okay? So if you've had questions, hopefully we're going to answer your question today. So our first question today is this, is who is the Holy Spirit? Well, simply put, I want you to understand he's your helper. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the one that walks alongside of us, the one who's there to lead, guide, and direct us. He helps us. I don't know about you. I need all the help I can get. Anybody else? I mean, I need all the help I can get, right? In addition to that, he's our friend. But most importantly, you need to understand he's God. Somebody say he's God. He's God. Now, all of us here probably say that we believe in the Trinity, right? Three in one, God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, correct? Now, unfortunately, there are a lot of believers that have this negative outlook on the person of the Holy Spirit. And I don't know if it's maybe they've seen something online, seen something in a church service, and they just feel like, I don't know if that's really for me. Maybe their outlook on the Holy Spirit is like, he's the crazy uncle of the family. Y'all remember the vacation movies and Cousin Eddie? Maybe they feel like he's the Cousin Eddie of the family, just kind of like the weird one. I need to tell you today, we've got to watch our outlook whenever we think of the Holy Spirit, because we've got to remember, he's who? God. He's God. And then there's a lot of believers, unfortunately, that again, due to not being taught, I believe, that they just think to themselves, I'm just not sure about that whole Holy Spirit person. If you look in the King James, he's referred to as Holy Ghost, and so maybe that terminology just kind of freaks them out. So their thought process is, let's just kind of keep him just distant, right? I'm good with God the Father. I'm good with God the Son, Jesus. But I just don't know about the Holy Spirit. I want to say again, he's God. Can we all say it together? He's who? God. Whenever we say he's weird, whenever we say I'm just not into it, what we're saying is God's weird. I'm just not into God. I mean, can we just be honest? That's kind of scary for us to say as believers, right? That's something that's honestly, that's ignorance coming out of our mouth if we ever say that. It's just spiritual ignorance right there. And so you need to understand today he's your helper, he's your friend, but he's your God as well. He's as much part of the Godhead as Jesus is. our second question today is what does Pentecost mean? Because I said today is Pentecost Sunday, what does it mean? Some people hear the word Pentecost and instantly they go to the word Pentecostal. Maybe they think of some church services they've been in and they're like, you know, those were really, really energetic services. Maybe they think that it has something to do with how you dress. Maybe, but hear me, it doesn't have anything to do with that. The meaning of the word Pentecost is so spooky. It's so scary. You want to know what it means? 50th. Like 50. That is scary, isn't it, right? Pentecoste, in the Greek Pentecoste, penta, 5, coste to the 10th. It means 50th, as in the 50th day after the resurrection. That's whenever the day of Pentecost was. Yo, that's all the word means, is just simply 50th. There's nothing to be scared about whenever it comes to that word, right? Our third question today is, and now we're getting into the meat of things, what happened at Pentecost? A lot. A lot happened at Pentecost. Are y'all ready to jump into Scripture today? All right, let's go there. We're going to be a lot. We're going to be in Acts 2 a lot. We're going to be in Acts 1 a lot. We're going to be in the Gospels as well. Acts 2 verse 1 says this, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them." It's exactly what you're imagining right now, almost like a little flame above every one of them. "And they were all filled." Somebody say filled. Filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. You had 120 believers that were gathered together that day in unity. There was no stage, there was no band, there was no program. They were just there gathered together in unity, in obedience, because Jesus told them, wait, and that's what they did. But then heaven showed up. Heaven showed up. So what happened at Pentecost? Well, the first thing is this, the promise of the Holy Spirit was delivered. The promise of the Holy Spirit was delivered. Jesus told the disciples this before he ascended in Luke 24:49. He says, "And now I will send the Holy Spirit, just as my Father promised." But then he tells them, "But stay here in the city until the Holy Spirit comes and fills you with what?"
Power.
Fills you with what?
Power.
It's important that we see that. Fills you with power from heaven. And here's what he's telling the disciples. He's saying, guys, I've got to go, but you need to stay here and you need to wait for the person of the Holy Spirit to fill you up, because you're going to need the Holy Spirit to be able to minister effectively. You're going to need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk in the plan that I have for your lives. Guys, you can't do it on your own. You need the Holy Spirit to be able to do it, to be able to do it effectively. You need that power. And they had been waiting on the promise, and right on schedule, the Holy Spirit showed up as they were there. That was the day of Pentecost. The second thing that took place was the church was born. The church was born. Before Pentecost, you've got these 120 that are gathered together, and in all truth, they're probably a little fearful, because it was about 7 weeks prior, remember the 50th, it was about 7 weeks prior that Jesus had been crucified, and if y'all remember, the disciples kind of scattered after he was crucified, so they're there, they're a little bit fearful, but then the Holy Spirit hits the scene and the atmosphere changes. All of a sudden, it's not fear that's filling that place. All of a sudden, you've got 3,000 people that get saved in a single day. And this is whenever the church truly became the church. That day, it wasn't about a building. That day, it wasn't about some denomination starting or anything like that. It was a movement led by the Holy Spirit. And whenever you keep reading in Acts, what you see is just this beautiful picture of the New Testament church about how they were in unity and how they just so cared for one another. They took care of each other's needs. And we see that the early church grew rapidly. And Jesus tells them, and we're going to read this in just a little while, that he says, "You're going to be filled with the Holy Spirit and you're going to become my witnesses." So at that point, hear me, the Holy Spirit had hit them. At that point, they are such effective witnesses, which had so much to do with the church growing so rapidly. Amen? Because it was that, it was the signs and wonders and the miracles that were taking place. And so the church was just blowing up at that point. The third thing, and this is kind of a bonus thing, because Y'all, what took place at Pentecost is for all of our benefit. I want you to know that. But the third thing that I want to bring up today is the fact that Peter was transformed. Peter was transformed. Now, we got to think about old Peter. Just about 52 days prior, Peter had denied Jesus, not once, not twice, but three times after he told Jesus, I never will. He denied him three times before the sun came up, right? And so you've got Peter who feels just so low, and Peter who feels like he could never be used to do anything significant, but then the Holy Spirit hits the scene. And Peter's filled with the Holy Spirit, and Peter stands up and preaches one of the greatest sermons that we'll ever hear about, and 3,000 people got saved just like that. Peter was transformed, and he walked in power, and y'all, I want you to hear me. Every one of us can experience the same power that filled Peter that day. It's available to every one of us. Amen? Now, just for a second, I want us to shift gears because I want to make sure that I bring some clarity about something, and I want to make sure that we're all together here. And we're going to go in Acts 1 just for a minute, and we're going to start in verse 4. And let's look at this just for a minute. It says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Holy Spirit. We talked about that a minute ago. Which he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water. Speaking of John the Baptist. John baptized with water. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Y'all reading that, right? You shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit. You've been baptized. You experienced John's baptism, but you'll be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Go to verse 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, whenever we look at this conversation in Acts chapter 1, we've got to think about the audience that Jesus is speaking to. He was speaking to the disciples. This is shortly before he ascended. Let me ask you this. Did the disciples know that he was the Son of God? Y'all got to talk to me. I need to know that you're sure of this. Right? They knew he was the Son of God. Did the disciples see him crucified?
Yes.
Did the disciples see him after the resurrection?
Yes.
So they knew that he was the Messiah, right?
Yes.
Absolutely. What Jesus tells them here, he's saying, guys, there's something more available for you. So they were saved, we could say that. But Jesus is saying there's something else available for you that you've not received as of yet, and you need to go wait and receive it. Amen? So I'm setting all this up for a reason, because I want you to understand what we believe here at Church Alive. And if you've gone through Starting Point, you've heard this. It's on our website and stuff. But let's look at just our beliefs here at Church Alive. So we at Church Alive believe the Holy Spirit lives within every believer, giving us the power to live a godly life. He comes in at conversion. He seals us. He begins the work of sanctification in our lives. So if you've given your life to Christ, the Holy Spirit's in you. But, somebody say but. We also believe in the baptism in or with the Holy Spirit, and we believe it's a separate and available experience after salvation. So we believe the Holy Spirit lives within every believer, giving us the power to live a godly life, and we also believe the baptism in or with the Holy Spirit is a separate and available experience after salvation. We can describe this as like a spiritual upgrade that's available to us, an empowering that's available, again, for all believers. Amen? And we see this pattern repeating itself in the New Testament, especially in Acts. So let's just talk about it for a minute. In Acts 2, on the day of Pentecost, you had 120 believers that were gathered together, correct? And the Holy Spirit fell. They were filled with the Holy Spirit. So this was post-salvation. Can we all agree on that? Okay. If we go to Acts 8, verse 14, it says, when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to Samaria. When they arrived, they prayed for the new believers there that they might receive the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit had not yet come on any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. So they believed. Then Peter and John placed their hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Y'all see this? So these, it says they were new believers, but they had not yet received the Holy Spirit. So then they received the Holy Spirit after salvation. In case you've ever been taught in the past that this whole Holy Spirit thing and the whole Day of Pentecost thing and all of that was just for that little bit of time right then, I want to mention to you this was 5 years after Pentecost. Look it up. It was 5 years later, okay? Let's go to Acts 10 real quick. Verse 44 says, while Peter was still speaking these words, what I think is awesome right here is the fact that we know on the day of Pentecost, Peter was preaching the paint off the walls because 3,000 got saved, and apparently he was still preaching strong because it says, while he was speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who were listening to the message. Y'all see that? All the Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit had also been poured out on the Gentiles. Now, again, I mentioned that Peter's preaching strong. Just so you know, this was 10 years after Pentecost. 10 years after the day of Pentecost. Peter's still preaching strong. There's new believers. They're being filled with the Holy Spirit. And something that's very significant about this verse is that whole last line there, the fact that the Jewish people were amazed because the Gentiles received. That shows us that the person of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, is available to all. It's available to all. That's good news, isn't it? It's available to all. Now let's go to Acts 19, verse 1. While Apollos was at Corinth, Paul took the road through the interior and arrived at Ephesus. There he found some disciples and he asked them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they answered, no, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. They had no clue. So Paul asked, then what baptism did you receive? John's baptism, they replied. Paul said, John's baptism was a baptism of repentance. He told the people to believe in the one coming after him, that is, in Jesus. When Paul placed his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them. Are y'all seeing this today? Yeah. So we see, once again, those who believed, but then they were filled with the Holy Spirit after salvation. Somebody say, after salvation. After salvation. And just so you know, this was 25 years after Pentecost. Can I go ahead and just tell you the filling of the Holy Spirit, it was available 5 years after, 10 years after, 25 years after. Y'all, it's available 2,000 years after for us as well. Amen. And that's really good news. That's really good news. They had this fresh empowering from the Holy Spirit that they received. Now, our fourth question today is this is, what does the baptism in the Holy Spirit do for us? Because maybe that's your big question. Okay, Pastor Gene, why do I need this? What's it going to do for me? Well, let's go to John 16 and let's just see what Jesus says right here. He says, then nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It's to your advantage. Can we just say advantage today? It's to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, Jesus said, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, we got to talk about this for a minute. Jesus is talking to the disciples here, right? And let's just talk about what they had experienced, okay? You've got these 12 young guys, and y'all, these were young guys. They were like late teens into early 20s. They were not super old guys. They probably didn't have big beards and, you know, a lot of the pictures that we see. They were young guys. He's got these young guys that for 3 years, all they knew was Jesus. They were with him. They saw the miracles. They followed him. They woke up every morning knowing that they were living life with purpose at that point, right? Jesus had told them multiple times, guys, I'm going to have to go. He talked about the fact that he was basically going to be turned over and that ultimately he would die. And you know, he lays all this out for them, but whenever you read, it's almost as if they just didn't really pick up on what he was saying. But then he's crucified. And then all of a sudden, all hope is lost. You can imagine these young guys, again, 18, 19. It's said that John was as young as 14, actually, whenever he started following Jesus. So these are young guys. You can imagine all of a sudden they're just heartbroken. Like, what do we do tomorrow? You know, they're running in fear. They don't know what the next day, the next weeks are going to look like for them. Jesus is crucified, but then 3 days later, he walks out of the grave. That's exciting, right? And you can imagine these young guys, they're like, all right, we are back. We are back, man. And then, you know, kind of like the Blues Brothers, like, we're putting the band back together, right? We're getting the band back together. You can imagine, like, they are super excited about Jesus, you know, walking out of the grave, and they're thinking, all right, it's go time. But then Jesus has to start educating them. And he says, guys, actually, I got to go to the Father. I got to go to the Father. And here's what he's telling them. I know you don't want to see me go, but it's to your advantage that I go. You see, guys, here's what you need to understand. Whenever I was with you, you loved it. And I'm totally paraphrasing, giving you the Pastor Gene version here right now. Guys, whenever I was with you, you loved it. Whenever I went away, you felt lost. But hear me, as soon as I go, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit with you, who's going to be in you, who is going to be with you 24/7. It's going to be like you got me next to you all day, every day. Y'all, that is good news for them, and it's good news for us, amen? It's good news for us as well. And so we need to understand what the baptism of the Holy Spirit does for us is it, first of all, empowers us to live holy lives, not by striving harder, but by leaning into his power. It's by the Spirit, not sheer willpower, that we can live lives that are holy, right? The Holy Spirit can help you not fall into temptation. The Holy Spirit can help you live a life that looks holy, right? And he's there every day, and he's leading us, and he's guiding us, and he's helping us out. He's directing us. He'll tell us what to say at times, and he'll tell us to shut our mouth at times as well. Amen? Does anybody else need that help in their life? Amen. He will tell us to hush at times. He's looking out for us. Galatians 5 also says that he produces some great spiritual fruit within us as well, like love, joy, peace, right? Patience, self-control, gentleness. He produces this incredible fruit in us as well. Can I go ahead and just tell you something? There are a lot of Christians who have been resistant to the person of the Holy Spirit, and they're not walking in love. They're not walking in joy. They're not walking in peace. There's a lot of believers. Let's just go back to COVID days. And I was so proud of this church. During COVID, people were losing their minds who were believers. And we can't have church, and we can't do this, and what are we going to do? And Church Alive was like, this ain't nothing. Like, right? I mean, Church Alive was walking in peace. And a lot of believers were not. Let's just think about what our media is trying to do right now. Have you noticed that it seems like the attitude of the world is either you agree with me or you are my enemy? Right? That's the attitude of a lot of people in the world right now. But it's believers full of the Holy Ghost that, you know, their outlook is this. Look, we may not agree, but I honor you because I understand you are created in the image of God. And yeah, I can love you and not even have the same beliefs as you, right? That's the love that's produced by the Holy Spirit. We need this in our lives, don't we, y'all? And it's only through the Holy Spirit that we can truly love people that way, that we can truly walk in peace whenever it seems like everything around us is falling apart, that we can just walk in kindness and we can have self-control. That's super important, isn't it? We need some self-control, right? The next thing it does is this, is that it gives us boldness to witness. The baptism of the Holy Spirit gives us boldness to witness. Acts 1 verse 8 is very clear. You will receive power and you're going to become my witnesses. Jesus said that. And those two things are connected. This power, well, it's for a purpose. It's for a purpose. You're going to become my witnesses, and he'll make you a better witness. He'll make you more confident, more anointed, more effective. And you may think, Pastor Gene, I'm not good at that. I can't talk to people. Whenever you invite the Holy Spirit into your life, all of a sudden things are going to change on the inside of you. And then all of a sudden you're not so scared to talk to people whenever the Holy Spirit says, that person's hurting, you need to talk to them right now. Oh, and just by the way, you're like, well, what would I say? I don't know what to say. Well, I'm glad you asked, because Scripture also shows us that he will give us the words to say. Let's look at Luke 12. Jesus was saying this, whenever you guys, disciples, whenever you're brought before synagogues, rulers, and authorities, don't worry about how you're going to defend yourselves or what you're going to say. The Holy Spirit will teach you at that time what you should say. Isn't that good news? He'll teach us what to say. There's been times where I've got on this stage and I didn't really know what I was going to say, because there have been times where I had something planned and the Holy Spirit at the last minute said, no. Lord, you know I'm a planner. I'm a big planner, Lord. You know this. You made me that way, Lord. Right? And I get on stage and then he just takes it and goes with it. And he'll do that for you as well. You don't have to be a preacher, by the way. You can be in situations and you don't know what to say, and all of a sudden he's just going to give you the words. All you got to do is just open up your mouth. Amen? The third thing the baptism does is this, is that activates the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. And I am so grateful for this right here. It activates the gifts of the Spirit in our lives. Now, we're going to talk about this just for a second. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 11. And you're going to see these nine manifestational gifts of the Holy Spirit that are available to every one of us to operate in. Now, let's get a little bit of clarity here just for a minute. Whenever you look at the gifts of the Spirit, I want you to understand these are for the benefit of the body of Christ. We're shown in Scripture, right? I also want you to understand that with these gifts, you don't just have one, okay? It says that the Holy Spirit distributes them as he sees fit. So let's just do some examples here just for a minute. I noticed that Summer over here, she's repping her gym with her sweatshirt that she's wearing this morning. So let's just say Summer's at the gym. Somebody hurts themselves during a workout. It happens. The Holy Spirit just drops this into Summer. Summer, you need to go pray for them right now. You need to go pray for them, because that's the way he works, right? He's going to give you insight on things. So Summer goes over, prays for the person, and then all of a sudden God heals them. That's awesome, right? That's you moving in a gift of the Holy Spirit. And by the way, if you don't feel like the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for today, don't bother asking me to pray for your healing, because it's a gift of the Holy Spirit. Now all of a sudden some wheels are turning, aren't they? But let's just say weeks down the road, Summer just runs into somebody else, and let's talk about another gift of the Holy Spirit that you might read in 1 Corinthians there, and the Lord just dropped something into Summer, and she could just simply be at the grocery store, and the Lord says, hey, I want you to tell this person this right here. And Summer's going to have these thoughts like, are you sure? Are you sure? Right? Because a lot of times we have those thoughts, but the more you hear from them, the more you're sure. And so Summer might look at this person and just say, hey, listen, sometimes I feel like the Lord is showing me things, and he just wants you to know this. And then there's like a really good chance that person, you're going to start to see tears come down, because the Lord gave you something for them that they needed to hear. That's what we would call a word of knowledge, one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Here's the reason I love things like the word of knowledge, also the gift of prophecy, is because the person who you are giving the word to, that the Holy Spirit says, say this to them, they have the opportunity to realize how much the Creator of the universe loves them. Have y'all ever walked through a season and you felt so alone? You were going through heartbreak, you were going through something, and you felt like nobody knows what I'm going through, nobody knows how bad I'm hurting. Have you ever been there before, right? And you're thinking, I'm in this thing all alone. You see, the Lord can use you to just walk up to somebody and just share a word to them that has everything to do with their situation. And it's not going to be a book. It might just be three sentences. And what they realize at that moment is that God sees me. God cares for me. Literally, the Creator of the universe cares for what I'm walking through right now. Can we just get real? Doesn't anybody want to be part of that? I mean, come on. Isn't that something that you want to be part of? Don't you want to be part of like being able to pray for somebody and them get healed? I do. I've seen it happen before and I love it. I get pretty excited about it. Amen. And so these gifts are for today, and they'll be activated in your life whenever you welcome the Holy Spirit to fill you. He'll enable you to be part of somebody's miracle. It's awesome. And so again, that power is available to all of us today. I want you to hear me today. God doesn't want you to live on the low end of what he's made available. He doesn't want you on the basic package, just kind of like barely saved. He doesn't just want you on that package. He wants you to go to the top. Do you hear me? I mean, he wants you to have it all, like the unlimited package. That's what God wants every one of us to have today. And Scripture shows us that there's more. There's more for us. And y'all, we need to get in the middle of it. We need God to transform us. Amen? I want you to think of it this way. In the Word, it says that whenever we're in Christ, we're a new creation. Y'all know that, right? You've heard that before. I want you to think about whenever you got saved, you're kind of like a brand new car that just drove off the parking lot or the dealership, right? You got that new car smell. I mean, there's like 1 mile on that odometer. You are brand spanking new, right? But I want you to think about a few miles down the road, the first stop you make is at a place that builds NASCAR engines. And you say, why don't y'all redo this thing for me? And then all of a sudden, whenever you leave that mechanic, that car is able to do 300 miles an hour. It can take a curve. It's got souped up tires and everything. Listen, it's kind of like that. Whenever you have the Holy Spirit fill you, you go to a whole new level. All of a sudden, life looks different. Do you hear me? Life absolutely looks different. Now, I want us to go back to Peter just for a minute because his story is so great. It's a story about a guy who had seriously messed up, how he was still used by the Lord to do great things because of the power of the Holy Spirit. And let's just talk about Peter's past just for a minute, because maybe you feel like, Pastor Gene, with my past, I've goofed up too much. Hush and just listen for a minute, okay? You got Peter, who had messed up from time to time. He was the guy that got out of the boat. We got to give him props for actually getting out of the boat. He walked on water, but then he took his eyes off of Jesus and he sank. You can imagine his teenage, early 20 friends gave him a lot of grief for that later once he got back into the boat soaking wet, right? But again, at least he got out of the boat. Let's give him some props for that. But then we've also got Peter that at times he would say things and he would kind of get shut up. We actually see that at the Transfiguration. In the middle of Peter talking, God interrupts him. It's pretty funny whenever you read that. Then you got Peter again that cuts off Malchus's ear. Poor Peter, he was terrible with a sword. He was awful. He was trying to do damage, and he cuts a guy's ear off. I mean, that a way to save Jesus, Peter. Great job. The guy can only halfway hear now. Great job, Peter. And then you've got Peter again. He tells Jesus, I'll die for you. I'll never deny you. And Jesus is like, okay. And again, in the coming hours, he denied Jesus 3 times. Did Peter goof up? Yeah. And some people would have said, you know what, after that, Jesus should have probably just benched him, just put him on the bench. Jesus didn't bench him. He filled him with the Holy Spirit. Not only did he fill him with the Holy Spirit, he used him powerfully on the day of Pentecost. Peter was the one that stood up. Not John, Peter was the one that stood up. Just think about Peter, what was going through his mind about how he had let Jesus down, but then all of a sudden, the power hits him. He's filled with the Holy Spirit. Chapter 2, verse 14 of Acts, it says, then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice and addressed the crowd, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem. Let me explain to you, listen carefully to what I say. Peter stood up at that moment, full of the Holy Spirit. He stood up with confidence and boldness, and he preached literally one of the greatest sermons ever. 3,000 people were saved according to Acts 2 verse 41. He preached the resurrection and he did it with clarity and he did it with conviction. What changed? This was the same man with the same past, with the same failures. But what changed was is he was filled with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was moving in his life and he that day was operating from a different power source. Hear me today. Whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you, y'all, it is a major spiritual upgrade. Come on, are y'all with me today? It's a major spiritual upgrade. I mean, you're going to speak things that you couldn't say before whenever the Holy Spirit comes upon you. You're going to lead in ways that you weren't capable of leading before. Here's what I love about the Lord. Whenever he's called you to do something, and again, to truly walk in your purpose, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit to be able to do it effectively. But whenever he calls you, he enables you to do it through the power of the Holy Spirit. You can lead in ways that you never thought possible. You're going to be more in tune with hearing from the Lord as well. You're going to be able to hear, because of the Holy Spirit, hear the voice of the Lord. We were at dinner with some friends last night. Many of y'all have heard me tell this story. I've told it a few times over the years. The home that we live in, we originally did not get the home. We had put in an offer. We didn't get it. we were crying. We were looking to build a house. The Lord told me, it was on the MLK holiday in 2014. The Lord told me that night, Gene, you are getting that house. The man will call you tomorrow night. I've never heard so clearly before in my life. I told Regina that Monday, we've got the house. The Lord just said, you're going to get a call tomorrow. Guess who got a call tomorrow? You can hear the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Amen? You can hear from Him. He'll lead you. He'll guide you. He'll direct you. He can help you to step into your purpose. And let me go ahead and just tell you, this is the part that I love. You can begin to start to walk in authority and power. I need y'all to stand with me today. You can begin to walk in authority and power. Let me just tell you the outlook of a lot of Christians a lot of times. You know, you ask them, how you doing? Well, we're just trying to make it. We're just trying to make it. People who are full of the Lord, they're just trying to make it. They're going through something, and here's what they're always saying. Hey, I just need you to pray for me. Just come on. We need all the prayers we can get. We got unspoken prayer requests over here. We need prayers. It's as if they got a bucket that they're trying to cram as many prayers in there, and hopefully their situation to turn around. Let's put it online. We can get some emojis from people saying that they're praying for us or whatever. Can I tell you, you don't have to live that way. You don't have to count on all these other people trying to bank up as many prayers as you can. Why don't you speak to your situation? I mean, you know, if you got some mess going on in your home, and so you've been trying to get everybody to pray for you because your kids are not acting the way they're supposed to and your marriage isn't that great, Satan, in the name of Jesus, we call you out for what you're trying to do in our home. Satan, we understand that this is an attack from you. Satan, we want you to understand, we see what your attack is. We understand that our spouse is not our enemy. We understand that our children are not our enemies. And Satan, we say, take your hands off of our kids right now. Satan, we say that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We say that we are operating and living with the mind of Christ. And Satan, right now, we say, you are done with. Get out of our home in Jesus' name. Some of you have never prayed that way, but you can. You got to understand your authority. You got to understand your power. Jesus didn't give his life. It take nails and stripes for you to live this cowarding life. You were meant to live an overcoming life. And it's available to you. But there's too many people and they're just grunting out life. Well, I don't want anything to do with that Holy Spirit. He's just weird. Come on, you need every bit of him. We need every bit of the Holy Spirit. We need his power. We need his direction. Come on, somebody. As dark as the world is getting, we need him. Amen. We need him. All right, let's talk about two things just for a minute. John the Baptist baptized Jesus. Y'all remember that? John the Baptist baptized Jesus. By the way, if Jesus was water baptized, you need to be water baptized if you hadn't already. After John water baptized Jesus, it says, the Lord spoke, said, this is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Y'all remember that, right? Also, it says the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove. A bird didn't touch Jesus, didn't land on Jesus. No, the Holy Spirit gently came upon Jesus. Real quick, let me give you something to think about, and I think this is beautiful. That's a picture of the Trinity all together. You've got the Father speaking. You've got the Son who's in the water, and the Holy Spirit comes right there. Isn't that incredible? You have literally the Trinity right there. After, that's Luke 3:22. After Jesus was baptized, Luke 4 verse 1 says that he went straight to the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days by the enemy. Satan went after him, and Satan went after him hard. Now, some of you here today, you feel like Satan's been coming after you hard for a long time, and you feel like he's kicking your tail day after day after day after day. For 40 days, he was just tormenting Jesus, trying to get Jesus to sin. You know, Jesus didn't eat during that time, and Jesus kept coming back just quoting scripture. He knew the word of God, and he resisted Satan for 40 solid days. We also need to remember this. Whenever Jesus came to earth, he took off his divinity and he put on his humanity. You hear me, right? God in the flesh. Every miracle that Jesus did, it was because he was in right relationship with the Father and because he was full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Hear me today. Jesus did not do one miracle before the Holy Spirit came upon him. His first miracle was water to wine. We all remember that, right? That was his first miracle. It came after he was water baptized and the Holy Spirit came upon him. So here's my big question for you today that Seth's going to throw up on the screen. Y'all, if Jesus needed the person of the Holy Spirit while he was on earth, how much more do we need the person of the Holy Spirit operating in our life? Come on, y'all. If he needed them, don't you think we need them? He was Jesus. We're us. We need them. I need the Holy Spirit just to be able to go to Walmart and keep my sanity. I mean, right? We need the Holy Spirit to be able to walk out our life, our Christian life. We need the Holy Spirit to be able to keep our cool. We need the Holy Spirit to keep the enemy from running our homes. We need the Holy Spirit so that we can operate in those gifts that I talked about earlier, so that we can bless the body of Christ, y'all. You know, whenever you are used to be a blessing to somebody else, like whether the Lord gives you a word for somebody or whether you just pray for somebody and God touches their body. And just by the way, a lot of times whenever you pray for somebody's healing, it may not instantly happen, but it's the beginning of it happening. Okay? God doesn't always work like a microwave. He's not Amazon Prime. But whenever you're able to be used like that, it directs people towards Jesus, because they want to know more. Whenever they see somebody's body that gets healed because you prayed for them, whenever they hear the word that the Holy Spirit gives you for them, then all of a sudden they want to know more about him. And it just opens the door for you to be that witness that Jesus told the disciples that they would be for him. Amen? It's such a blessing. And so I want you to know here today that God's got more for you. God's got more for you. In Acts 1, verse 4, Jesus told the disciples something. He said, you need to stay here until the Holy Spirit comes upon you. I'm telling every one of you here today, you don't need to leave this place without the Holy Spirit filling you up today. And I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, you being full of the Holy Spirit is not going to turn you into a weirdo. It's not going to turn you into a weirdo. So many of us, we maybe have seen things on TV or heard things, and you think all of a sudden you're going to do this, or this. No, the Holy Spirit's a gentleman. You need to understand that. He's a gentleman. But he wants to change your life. He wants to change your home. He wants to change your outlook on life. He wants you to walk around all of a sudden a little more confident, because you're no longer getting your tail kicked. You realize who's walking in authority and power. You're not like the boxer in the corner of the ring that just keeps getting waylaid anymore. All of a sudden, you've got out of that corner and you are sticking it to him, amen? That's what he wants for you. It's what he wants for every one of us today, amen? But that's available for you. So let me ask you just a few questions today. Are you walking in the authority and the power that's yours in Christ? Are you walking in that power and authority, or are you constantly feeling defeated? Just answer that question to yourself. The second question I want to ask you is this, is have you welcomed the Holy Spirit into your life as a person? Have you ever had any negative thoughts about him? Hear me today. I want you to answer this question honestly in your mind. Have you ever had negative thoughts about the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been resistant to the person of the Holy Spirit? Third question is this, is have you ever pursued the baptism in the Holy Spirit as a separate available experience? Let's just bow our heads just for a moment. Let me speak to you. Again, God's got more for you. But just real quick, before we go any further, so many people have had maybe negative feelings or thoughts about the person of the Holy Spirit. Maybe you're one of those and you just thought, that whole subject matter is just weird to me. We got to go back to where we started, that he's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. He's as much of the Godhead as Jesus is. Today, if you've ever had a negative thought about the person of the Holy Spirit, today, if you've ever said, I just don't want anything to do with that, and you've thought to yourself, I'm just going to keep him at a distance, I'm telling you as your pastor, you need to ask God for his forgiveness for that at this very moment. you need to have a moment with God. Because what you've said is God, I don't want to get into you. God, you're weird. Come on, just for a moment. I want you to, if that's been you, and I know there's people in here because I've had this conversation with people. Come on, just have a minute with the Lord. Also, if you're like, Pastor Gene, I'm ready to start to walk in authority and I'm ready to start to walk in power. I'm tired of just living defeated. Or maybe you're like, Pastor Gene, I'm full of the Holy Ghost, but I want the next level. Anybody feel that way today? All right, does anybody either want that power or they just want to go to another level? Anybody? All right, come on, lift your hands today. Come on, we're all going to pray together today. Come on. Hey, Holy Spirit, we need you. We invite you into our lives. Jesus, baptize us in the Holy Spirit. Lead us, guide us, direct us, speak to us, empower us. Today, I surrender control. Take lead in my life. Holy Spirit, I welcome you into my life. Come on, give God some praise today. Amen. Amen. Now listen. Some of you, you're going to go home today and you're going to think to yourself, you know what? I don't feel any different. I don't feel any different. First of all, Matthew 7:11 says that God gives good gifts to his children, right? He gives good gifts to his children. You just asked for a good gift, so I need you to hear me. You got it. All right, you got it. He can't take it away from you. But here's what Satan's gonna try to do, right? He's gonna try to convince you nothing happened because he's a liar, and if his lips are moving, he's lying, right? But see, now you're walking in power and authority, and rather than falling for the stupid things that he says, you're just gonna tell him to shut up. Like Satan, no, this is what the Word of God says. It's mine. I asked for it. He gives me good gifts. And now, Satan, I understand that, no, I'm full of power and authority. Satan, just shut up and leave. Amen? All right, come on, walk in that authority today. Come on, give God some praise today.
Thank you for listening to the Church Alive Teaching of the Week with Pastor Gene Amoson. We invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service every Sunday at 8:45 or 10:30. Learn more at churchalive.net.